Rock and roll. What does it have to do with broadcasting? That's a question that is being answered uniquely and specifically by the folks over at the Museum of Broadcast Communications here in Chicago. And Justin Kolovsek is with us, and he is the Vice President of Innovation. And he's innovative enough. He got us through a Saturday Night Live event there last year that,
totally.
That changed all of our lives.
It was really cool.
Say about a year, almost a year ago, exactly right now.
But this sounds just as cool, if not even cooler,
yes.
This exhibit.
So thanks for having me. 300 artifacts direct from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, all that have been seen on television. And it really, you walk through and you just, your mouth is just open the entire time.
Because you've seen it all.
It brings you back.
You recognize it.
You've seen every single artifact that is in that exhibit right now, you've seen on television.
I was just looking here. Cyndi Lauper's dress worn in Girls Just Want to Have Fun. I remember that music video. Oh my gosh, like it was yesterday. And I was playing it for my daughter the other day. She loved the song too. That is, I mean, it's so cool. A suit worn by Johnny Cash on his variety show.
Variety shows. I mean, we've got Sonny and Cher. We have Johnny Cash. We have Christina Aguilera's Mickey Mouse Club jacket.
Oh, she was so cute.
You know, I mean, literally you go through and every artifact, you're just like, I remember that. We have Dick Clark's original microphone.
Okay. Now that's the thing. If I did like an Ocean's 11 kind of caper,
uh-huh.
where I came in on a string and I stole something and I had to go all the way up, you know, and dance through all of the lights, the lasers that are keeping everything protected, that's the one item that I would try to steal out of the museum.
Just
would
watch
be
out
that.
When he's there. Okay.
The
heads up.
Dick Clark microphone.
And you know, it's cool. So it's a white microphone, and the story is that it's house paint on there. So they would literally, every show, they would paint it again with house paint. And so if you actually, you can see the different layers.
So it's like thick because of that.
Yeah. It's pretty, I mean,
cool.
We've got.
Why would they do that?
One of the last costumes that Buddy Holly wore on American Bandstand.
Ooh.
We've got Joan Jett's black leather jacket.
Oh.
Lady Gaga's Bad Romance costume.
Oh.
That's
I mean,
a
you
good one.
Literally kind of go from Dick Clark and Ed Sullivan all the way through the MTV era. It's really
a Soul Train sign and a suit, a beige suit worn by Don Cornelius.
Yes, and
it's got to be fancy.
Have you ever noticed when you go to these things that suits are always smaller than you imagine?
Because the person,
the people are always smaller than you imagine.
TV
now, is Johnny
people.
Cash's suit like?
Is he small?
Was he small?
No.
I he's tall, so. But he was super thin though.
So when
he
they
was
were
heroin thin, literally.
When they were setting up the exhibit, they had Davy Jones' jacket worn on the Brady Bunch. Next to
I remember that episode.
Next to Don Cornelius.
His suit.
Yeah, well, Davy Jones, before his passing, we had him on the show a number of times. He went out and did concerts and live stuff with us. And he was a very tiny man.
Yeah.
He was a very tiny man.
He was a jockey before.
Mm-hmm.
And so
the monkeys.
It's just hilarious. It was hilarious to see this little jacket next to Don Cornelius's. Large jacket.
Yeah, I would imagine Dr. Cornelius was a large guy. Yeah. He kind of loomed over everybody.
Yeah.
When he would interview people right before they were doing the Soul Train Scrabble, then he would scramble. He would like, you know, he'd do that thing. And it was Don Cornelius was the best because he would just say like three words.
He just got them going.
Right.
And their energy just started, you know, coming out.
So what's up? It would be like that.
and then
people would say, you know, oh my God, unbelievable.
I know.
What do you like about the song? And then it would be like, I don't even know.
That's all it took. People were so jazzed to be there.
So let's talk about that. Which came first, rock and roll or television?
So television, technically.
Mm-hmm.
Television really helped rock and roll get to where it was.
And rock and roll have been rock and roll without television?
It could have, thanks to the...
Sorry, that's the wrong. That's the wrong answer. Could not have been without television. But go ahead.
But what it did, it visualized rock and roll.
Right.
So everyone was so used to hearing it on the radio, and then all of a sudden, these shows like Ed Sullivan and American Bandstand, they were on, and you actually got to see these people. At the same time, rock and roll also helped television because it got that younger generation interested in, you know, in tuning in.
Well, like MTV, for instance, that just brought like all this interest in watching television again that you really didn't have before.
Yeah.
It's a perfect example. I know you have several exhibits that relate to the MTV ages.
Yeah, we also we have the outfits worn for Video Killed the Radio Star.
Oh.
Mm. That is on display.
I'd like to wear that, actually.
We have
because that's my new license plate.
Try some of this on.
Bob Marley's hat from This Is Love. Is This Love? So
does that smell like dope?
When Dean Richards was actually at the museum, he kept smelling it because he thought he was getting
sure.
a contact high.
Yeah,
for sure.
Anything that Bob Marley had, you know, they
suspicious.
Came into contact with, yeah, would have been.
We also in the lobby, we have the Eliminator, ZZ Top's 1933 Ford Eliminator. So that was a feat to not only get it into the building. Because it literally had to go through the doors. But it is. It's the full-blown Eliminator that was used in Give Me All Your Lovin', Legs, all those music videos.
Wow.
That red, iconic ZZ Top car. And that's actually sponsored by Master Mechanics. So
God bless them.
Got that one in. Good.
That they're doing.
That's a nice little plug.
Yeah, I think when you look back at this whole deal, when you look at the foundation of rock and roll, kids were going to sock hops. They were going to sock hops to see Elvis. They were going to see that whole story about the night when the music died, right? With the Big Bopper and Buddy Holly and everybody who's getting on that plane out of a little town in Iowa, right? That mm-hmm. was at a sock hop. That was at a high school gymnasium.
Mm-hmm.
And once the Beatles appeared on Ed Sullivan in the early 1960s, everything changed. All of a sudden, stadiums had to be filled. It wasn't anything. I mean, radio was certainly pushing stuff, but radio was also doing radio promotions. They weren't doing gigantic stadium kind of events. They were doing whether it was a festivals, you know, like farm festivals and things like that. You'd see some of it. You'd see it in small theaters. You'd see it in high school gyms. You weren't seeing it the way that it became after television kind of took over and made it bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then you had things like American Bandstand, which, again, was a sock hop, right? That was on television,
sure.
right? But then the next thing you know, you have to go see all those acts when they're they're coming to the Chicago Theater or the Chicago Stadium or someplace that had 25,000 people.
So one of the really cool things from American Bandstand we also have, contracts from people like James Brown, and it actually has on there,
ooh.
It was getting paid $250, and I thought I read it wrong, $2.50 for wardrobe. So if you look at inflation, that would be $17 today.
What?
The star was given for their wardrobe.
What a crappy contract.
Yeah, I mean, like, you sit there and you're like,
it was a standard union that was the rider. If you wanted to be on Bandstand, you weren't negotiating to be on Bandstand.
Sure.
You had to be on Bandstand. You were lucky to get on
so
Bandstand.
So this is before he was big?
No, I mean,
he was already a name.
No, they're
point.
Already big. Yeah. That's like when people go to do Jimmy Kimmel or something, and a big star gets $300 because the union requires them to get $300.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really mean
it's
anything.
SAG after a minimum.
Yeah. We also have the blueprint rendering of the Beatles when they were on Ed Sullivan. All the arrows that they had. We have that the original drawing.
Wow. All right.
How much of it is interactive? Like, can you take pictures of stuff? Or are you able to sort of, you
100%
know, get involved?
100% pictures. There's actually also an interactive app we have that you can learn more about things. And then we have all these costumes, tons and tons of video as well, where you can actually, again, every single artifact that you see right there in front of you, you also have video on, you know, on a screen of that artifact being used as well.
Awesome. Museum of Broadcast Communication, which it's such a great experience.
It is.
And we're so lucky to have it in this city because it's the home of the Radio Hall of Fame. It's the home to so many amazing, iconic items. When you go through it, you're going to be like, oh, I can't believe it. So put it on your museum tour. How long is this going to be in town for?
It's going to be here till April. And don't forget Bozo and Svengoolie and Garfield Goose and Ray Rayner. All of those artifacts are all back as well.
Oh, good.
And Oprah's windows.
Oh yeah, Oprah's windows.
Or doors, excuse me.
Right, the big,
you know, and it's
doors.
And
she have windows too? I can't remember.
This is
maybe
all
in her condo. Yeah.
We were able to make all this happen. We've got a new executive director, Susie Schultz. She's there now and is really paving the way to making sure that that the museum is on solid ground. We've got David Plyer as our chairman. That's another ding.
And CPS students are free during the strike. You just need your parents with you, right? Because you don't want entire kindergarten classes getting dropped off at your museum.
CPS kids are free until the strike is over with a paid adult admission.
All right. And the Museum of Broadcast Communications is on State Street between Kinzie and the river.
Correct. 360 North State, and tickets at museum.tv.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Justin.
Thanks for being with us.
Awesome.
Let's check in with Lauren Lapko. What's happening on the roadways?